and do what we used to do or usually do, or where you can find us doing, you usually find us doing this just randomly without a microphone in front of us.
Yeah, just basically cracking-wise. So if you're out at a restaurant, you can probably find us having a snarky conversation and probably talking about entertainment news. So we're going to do a lot of that and hopefully a little bit, hopefully keep you a little bit better informed, too, by the time this is all over.
Yep, so we have a few entertainment stories, and I think Victoria is going to start us off this evening.
That's right. Well, you know, Roslyn, it is January, and you know what January is currently known as.
Yeah, dry January.
Dry January.
You know, you've been feasting all through the holiday season, and you feel maybe a little bloated or something, and it's time to, like, knock it off and just, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of discipline, a little bit of cleansing.
Yeah, maybe be a little, feel a little cleaner, a little less chubby, you know, all those
good things. You overdid it, and now it's time to get back to real business because it's a new year and you need to be a new you. And typically, you want to have something maybe non-alcoholic. And Guinness was supposed to provide you with something. So, Victoria, why don't you go ahead and tell everyone about it?
Well, with a history that spans over 260 years, few breweries are as iconic as Guinness. Known to the world as the go-to dark Irish stout, the maker decided earlier in 2019 to release a non-alcoholic beer and launched Guinness 0.0. Let that news settle in like a correctly poured pint from the tap. Billed as offering the same beautifully smooth taste, perfectly balanced flavor, and unique dark color of Guinness without the alcohol, this new non-alcoholic stout was to be initially rolled out in retail shops in Great Britain and Ireland before receiving a more global expansion in 2020. Guinness has always had an unwavering commitment to the quality, and our entire brewing team is hugely proud of the care and effort that has been put into the four-year development process of Guinness 0.0. Iceland Rann, innovation brewer at Guinness St. James Gate Brewery, said in the announcement. We have created a taste experience that we believe is truly unrivaled in the world of non-alcoholic beer, and we can't wait for people to finally be able to try it. Unfortunately, people will have to wait a bit longer, because Guinness ended up recalling cans of its non-alcoholic stout due to contamination fears just 2 weeks after launch. The brewer decided to recall as precautionary, but said microbiological contamination might mean some products were unsafe. The recall only affected customers in Great Britain, as the product was not yet for sale in Ireland and no other Guinness drinks were recalled. The Food Standards Agency in the UK completed their assessment and published the results on the internet. Guinness is sorry that it has happened and has addressed the incident on the Guinness 0.0 website. They are now working hard to return Guinness 0.0 to shelves as soon as possible. Production will only recommence when we are completely satisfied that they have eliminated the root cause of the issue and the product meets the highest standards of quality and that they and their Guinness drinkers expect. So, I guess it's a bit of a blow to anybody who's looking forward to some non-alcoholic Guinness this dry January, but yeah, there's plenty of other really great non-alcoholic cocktails that you can enjoy.
There is also the mocktail.
There is the mocktail.
And maybe we can discuss that on a future show.
Perhaps. Maybe we'll just do a list of mocktails and some ingredients.
You know, that would have been a great thing to insert right here, some mocktails.
We could. Well,
do you know one off the top of your head? Maybe you could do one.
Sure. One that I really love and is so calm and relaxing is the cranberry cooler.
Okay.
And this is very simply, you want to get a nice Collins glass. Maybe get it about half full, maybe even three quarters full with ice. So if you've got 3-inch ice cubes like I do, you can probably two of them will get it done. Otherwise, just take it to three quarters of the way up with ice cubes. And you would probably want to pour in you want some soda water, maybe about halfway up the ice cubes. And then I would top that up with some cranberry juice. So take that to the top of the ice cubes. And then get some lime juice and give it a good squirt. So you get a little bit of murkiness going on there. I'd say just take your, if you've got it, lime juice in a bottle, I would give it like a 2-second squirt.
Okay.
And then just give it a little stir, maybe with a straw or a stir stick. And you can enjoy that. And you can garnish that with a lime.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Nice mocktail.
Yeah. Well, ooh, looks like somebody's gotten a little bit older last year.
You know, it's sad but true. Pac-Man has entered middle age. Pac-Man was born 40 years ago, almost 41, on May 22nd, 1980, when manufacturer Namco installed the first video machine in a movie theater in Shibuya, Tokyo, and immediately rose to meteoric popularity. Not mediocre, but meteoric. Pac-Man was created by game designer Turu Itwani. He was just 24 at the time. The idea for the character came to him when he removed a slice from a pizza. Which makes sense. Like, I didn't know that until I researched the story.
But it makes so much sense.
But I could see it. With brand recognition at 90% around the world, the simple yellow dot proved to be an irresistible force and transformed not only the world of video games, but also pop culture at large. I guess you kind of sort of remember that, right? Vic, you were yeah. on the young side at the time.
Yes.
The phenomenon has spawned a slew of merchandise, books, cartoons, and museum exhibits. And songs, including the hit Pac-Man Fever.
Ooh, that was really rough. I remember when that particular pandemic gripped the globe. I was deeply concerned.
Pac-Man Fever?
Yes.
Thank goodness it came on quickly and then left.
It subsided.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, that song, that pop song, rose to number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 in March of 1982.
Oh, my.
The game, this was interesting, too. This bit of trivia I found very, very interesting because I had no idea. The game was originally called Puck-Man, but the U.S. distributor Midway was worried that the word Puck could easily be modified by mischievous vandals into something much ruder, so they went with Pac-Man. I don't know why they did, actually. Much better.
That probably is a safer idea, especially in.
I can imagine this on all the arcades. You know, they would have been graffitied, and it just would have been.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been
pretty. I probably would have thought it was funny at the time because I was a young teenager,
an adolescent.
Yeah, I was an adolescent. Yeah, so. Well, actually, I was actually a full on teenager at that point.
Wow. Yeah.
Anyway, so there's many celebrities that wrote books in 2020.
Including our friend Chip Murgat, who we'll be talking to next week. He wrote There Must Be a Better World Somewhere. But this book is a little bit different because it's written by Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
And B, this is kind of somewhere around a memoir and some advice. And it's called Green Lights.
Yes.
Which, so it's all right, all right, all right.
This is Green Lights.
Yeah, this is Green Lights. Yeah, that's my very bad Matthew McConaughey impression. Matthew McConaughey, the Academy Award-winning actor, professor, husband, father, and shirtless bongo player, can now add author to his accomplishments. Green Lights was published on October 20th by the Crown Publishing Group. McConaughey exiled himself in the desert without electricity for 52 days while writing the book in an effort to memorialize his philosophy.
Hey, I got a question, though. If he was without electricity, how was he writing the book? I mean, like, today, don't we all use word processors? I mean, I think pretty much the last 40 years we've been using word processors to write books. So what was he doing? Like,
scribing even
that, with, like, a number 2 pencil?
Yeah, probably since the Victorian era we've been typing them. So, yeah, I'm guessing quill and ink? Quill and venom, perhaps? I don't know. It sounds like he did it the old-fashioned way, no electricity. Myself, I like running water when I'm writing, but that's another story entirely. So McConaughey, yep, he exiled himself. The book originated from diaries and journals McConaughey began writing when he was 14 years old. Recently, I worked up the courage to sit down with those diaries. I found stories I experienced, lessons I learned and forgot, poems, prayers, prescriptions, beliefs about what matters, some great photographs, and a whole bunch of bumper stickers. I found a reliable theme and approach to living that gave me more satisfaction at the time and still, if you know how and when to deal with life's challenges, how to get relative with the inevitable. You can enjoy a state of success I call catching green lights.
Okay, what I don't understand about that's great. It's very motivational, I think, you know. And he goes on to explain his philosophy, which we'll get to in a minute. But, like, what was up with all the bumper stickers? Did he do, like, a lot of traveling?
I don't know. I had a thing for bumper stickers when I was a teenager as well.
Did you?
I always thought I was going to put a bunch of them on my car. And then when I finally got a car,
right,
I did not do that.
Well, you didn't want it all cluttered up.
I didn't. I didn't want to make myself a target, make it look like maybe a very
you were
sloppy
a teenager
person.
That just stuck a whole bunch of bumper stickers all over your car?
That's true. That is true. So where was I? McConaughey went on a virtual book tour this fall to explain his book that espouses his philosophy. Hopefully, it's medicine that tastes good. A couple of aspirin instead of the infirmary. A spaceship to Mars without needing your pilot's license. Going to church without having to be born again and laughing through the tears. It's a love letter to life. It's also a guide to catching more green lights and to realizing that the yellows and reds eventually turn green, too. Well, that might be a theme for today.
That might be. But, you know, it's an interesting philosophy, and I think that's probably why I kind of did this story, because, you know, the Washington Post reviewer will go on to review the book in a second, and you'll talk about that as well. But it just, you know, I saw Matthew McConaughey on his virtual book tour on, like, on one of the morning shows, you know, espousing his whole philosophy, and I thought that, well, that's kind of cool.
It is. So, reviewer Mark Atticus from the Washington Post commented in his review of Green Lights, a fortune cookie might have written much of Green Lights if a fortune cookie had starred in Interstellar. Atticus continues, McConaughey pushes an ethos of learning to take your hands off the wheel, following the lead of his first connection in Hollywood, who told McConaughey he would get the work he wants when he stopped wanting it so much. McConaughey's most cherished advice is non-advice. I believe everything we do in life is part of a plan, McConaughey writes. Sometimes that plan goes as intended and sometimes it doesn't. That's part of the plan. Some plan, Atticus concluded. So on a scale of how to lose a guy in 10 days to True Detective, I figure Green Lights is a solid Magic Mike. Simply structured, a little flashy, but not as insightful as it wants you to think it is. The lengthy bio at the end of Green Lights states that McConaughey is a very intentional man. But the intentions are largely a mystery to all but the man himself.
So I guess that overall, was that a good review? I mean, he put it as a solid Magic Mike, so I'm guessing it's passable.
I enjoyed Magic Mike, so particularly the end scene, so I was good with it. So hopefully that was meant to be complimentary. But yes, Matthew McConaughey does sound quite philosophical there, and I think there's a lot of people who would... I think probably benefit from his wisdom, and you can learn something in everybody's wisdom, I think.
I think so, too. So I'm going to say it's probably worth reading.
I would say. All right, just checking the time there.
No, I know. I checked it, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so in 2020, you know, it was not the greatest of years. I think we can all agree on that. I don't think I'm being negative when I say that. But there was one bright spot I felt that was positive about 2020, and that was our re-entrance back into space on our own as a country. And so the next couple of stories kind of deals with space and fantasy space and a little gossipy about space, and so just space. So here
space.
We are.
All right. Well, I'm going to start it off. This year, space is back as big news. Or in 2020, it was back as big news. History is made back on May 30th when Elon Musk's private space company SpaceX launched NASA's astronaut Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley into orbit, successfully beginning SpaceX's first crewed mission. The company's Falcon 9 rocket and Crew Dragon spacecraft took off from NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida. It is the first privately designed and built spacecraft to carry astronauts into space.
Oh, what I didn't mention about in this story when I was researching it is that they had the coolest spacesuits.
They did have really nice spacesuits.
They were like really futuristic, like they were like movie spacesuits, not, you know.
Yeah, not like nerdy NASA spacesuits.
No, they were like all cool and futuristic. Like if a space traveler from another planet came down and landed. They look like that if that planet was like, I don't know, Paris, France. Anyway.
Well, you gotta love it. I also, if you go to the SpaceX website, because when you're researching this, I also took a look at that website, and they have pictures of like the cabin and the craft, and you can actually, it's like looking at a car video or car stuff. So it's almost like. You know, would you like to buy a spacecraft? We have Teslas, but we have this as well, if you might be interested.
If you like blasting off into space.
Yeah, just, you know. Anyway, known as NASA's SpaceX Demo 2, the mission was an end-to-end test flight to validate the SpaceX crew transportation system, including launch, in orbit, docking, and landing operations. This mission paved the way for certification for regular crew flights to the station as part of NASA's Commercial Crew Program. This is a dream come true for me and everyone at SpaceX, said Elon Musk. It is the culmination of an incredible amount of work by the SpaceX team, by NASA, and by a number of other partners in the process of making this happen. You can look at this as the result of 100,000 people roughly when you add up all the suppliers and everyone working incredibly hard to make this day happen. The test flight was successful and led to the November 15th launch to the International Space Station. NASA's SpaceX Crew 1 mission lifted off from a Launch Complex 39A at the agency's Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket propelled the Crew Dragon spacecraft with NASA astronaut Michael Hopkins, Victor Glover, Shannon Walker, and Soshi Noguchi of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency into orbit to begin a six-month science mission aboard the space station.
They're lucky they get to miss the entire winter.
Yeah, that is a good thing. Well, of course, space is a lot colder than winter here, but, you know, at least you don't have to shovel snow up there. NASA is delivering its commitment to the American people and our international partners to provide safe, reliable, and cost-effective missions to the International Space Station using American private industry, said NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine. The Crew Dragon spacecraft, named Resilience, docked autonomously to the forward port of the station Harmony module a day later. The crew will conduct science and maintenance during a six-month stay aboard the orbiting laboratory and will return in spring 2021. It is scheduled to be the longest human space mission launched from the United States. The Crew Dragon spacecraft is capable of staying in orbit for at least 210 days as a NASA requirement. So they have that, I guess, so you can probably orbit for a while if something bad happens.
Yeah, no, it was interesting that, you know, they were able to test it, put people on it, take it for a ride, then take people to, later in the year, to the space station. It was just quite amazing and was very hopeful. And I don't know.
It is an inspirational story. And I remember seeing the first, well, I think we watched both liftoffs.
Yeah,
and I watched the, of course, the conclusion of the one mission. I think you watched that as well. And it really is a moving experience to know that we're back in space and that we're doing it for ourselves. And private industry was a big part of that.
It was huge. You know, it's the first time we've ever done anything like that in that way. And it went off well. So I'm very happy and very pleased. And it was just nice to have a nice story for 2020.
That is good.
Now, while that was a reasonable space story, the kind that make older Americans wistful as they remember the golden years of space exploration.
Rosalind, are you calling yourself an older American?
I am. I think that ship has sailed. I am older than Pac-Man, after all.
Well, I'll just go with grown-up Americans.
But if you remember the golden years of space exploration and when people went off on the Apollo missions and the space shuttle and all
true.
Of that. You know, it gave you such hope back then. And then now we are suddenly snapped back to the present with this following ridiculous story. On May 4th, Deadline broke the story, "Out of This World, Tom Cruise plots movie to shoot in space with Elon Musk's SpaceX." No, this is not a lost short story by Kurt Vonnegut, even if it feels like it. Apparently, Tom Cruise and Elon Musk were working on a project with NASA that would be the first narrative feature film, an action-adventure to be shot in outer space. Tom Cruise will travel to outer space in October of 2021, along with Bourne Identity director John Lyman, as part of the Axiom SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule, to film the movie on the International Space Station. The movie does not yet have a title or a plot.
Well.
So I thought that was amusing, because you get this, like, you know, I guess, is Tom Cruise still an A-list actor?
I guess so. Right. You know, he's been out making Mission Impossible movies. So those have actually been released into theaters, and they don't have a plot. They just have a title.
That's true. Yeah, you bring up a good point. And then they have this top-notch, like, director who did The Bourne Identity. And I'm like, well, you know, that's not shabby. But then there's no title or a plot. So you would think if you're going to go all the way up into space, you'd at least have some idea what you're going to do. Before you get there.
Well, you know, it's not shocking that they're going to choose to do an action-adventure movie in space with a narrative, but I think it would have been more surprising and perhaps even more poignant if we had perhaps a Victorian costume drama in space.
Maybe that's the next movie.
Maybe. Yeah, Downton Abbey 2022.
Do they take over like an entire asteroid and
there you go.
An estate on there and you find this big, you know, old English estate on top of an asteroid?
There you go.
I don't know. Just a thought. Maybe you should work on the script, Vic.
I think so. I think I've got more plot than this movie, so.
The Space Agency's Administrator Jim Bridenstine, if you remember him from the last story, said, I will tell you this. NASA has been in talks with Tom Cruise and, of course, his team, and we will do everything we can to make it a successful mission, including opening up the International Space Station, he told the Associated Press. Asked about Cruise filming on the space station, Elon Musk told CBS this morning, actually, I think that remains to be seen. We are supportive, and I think NASA is supportive of anything that captures the imagination of the public.
Well, it does capture the imagination of the public.
That's true. I just don't know how realistic it is. So at this time, I think maybe you'd like to pause.
Why don't we take a little break?
And when we come back, we'll do our remaining space stories as well as some other topics.
All right.
All right.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
All right, we're back.
All right, I'm Roz Davis.
I'm Victoria Davis.
And you're listening to Random Walk on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
All right. Looks good. Really awesome. Good.
All right. Well, why don't we just refresh everybody what the show is supposed to be about. This is our maiden voyage.
This is our maiden voyage.
Our shakedown show.
Absolutely. Next week we're going to have a guest.
That's right.
Hopefully more guests because Random Walk is all about celebrating what makes Hunterdon County a wonderful place to live, and we are celebrating its beautiful culture, its beautiful attractions, its tourism, and it's musicians, it's all those good things that go on here in Hunterdon County, it's authors, all the good things that go on here in Hunterdon County, we're going to be talking about them, hopefully in many weeks to come.
So we hope you join us on our journey.
That's right.
Well, before the break, we were talking about space stories of 2020, or space-like stories, space fiction, actual space, and we're going to continue on with the next story.
With a little space fiction. So, a monument to recognize the future birthplace of Star Trek Voyager Captain Catherine Janeway has been installed along the Beeline Trail next to a Wonder Lab museum in Bloomington, Indiana. That's right, Captain Janeway was apparently going to be born there in the future. The design includes a bronze bust of Captain Catherine Janeway atop a limestone base with a commemorative steel plaque. The monument includes an informational display outlining the character's origin and connection to Bloomington. The Captain Janeway Bloomington Collective installed the monument to the Star Trek Voyager character on October 24th. It celebrates her leadership, her connection to her future birthplace, and the accomplishments of those inspired by her character. This project was a labor of love made possible by donations from hundreds of fans across the planet and is supported by Bloomington's Artisan Alley and the City of Bloomington with the permission of CBS Studios. I thought we read somewhere that Kate Mulgrew, who played Captain Janeway, actually came to the unveiling of the bust.
She did come to the unveiling of the bust. I don't know why that didn't get into the story. There must have been a reason why I didn't do that. But, yeah, she actually did come to the unveiling. And I don't. Did you see the pictures on the internet?
I took a look at some of the pictures. Yes.
Did you? Did they look realistic to you? Like, how did you think the bust came out?
At least they picked one of her better hairstyles because she sported a whole lot of different hairstyles over the 7 years I think the show ran.
Yeah, none of them were good. Nor do I think they'll be hairstyles in the future. So,
boy, I hope not. Right now, they've come back around to the first season on a certain channel and. Look at what they did to women's hair on that show. It's like, yeah, I hope that's not the future of hairstyles.
What was the directors or the hair directors or the wardrobe people, like, what were they thinking in those meetings? Did they think, like, this is what hair will look like in the future?
Maybe they were thinking, this hair dini, we bought these hair dinis, now we've got to use them. So,
you think there were a lot of extensions then?
There definitely was something. There was definitely, you know, a foam rat of some sort up there, those have been used since the 1920s. So over 100 years ago, they were putting hunks of foam or pieces of fabric in women's hair to help style it and make it look fuller. And they apparently must have used the hair dini, which was a new invention at that time,
well,
or a newly marketed invention.
How many years in the future is Captain Janeway supposed to be born? Do you remember?
Oh, she's a ways. Yeah, it didn't make it into the story. I don't think it was in any of the press releases that we read.
No, it wasn't. Can you remember from your...
First Contact is actually about... It just happened that it came up on a show last night. First Contact will happen about 40 years from now in Bozeman, Montana.
Oh, really?
Yes. So we've...
So it should technically be within... Well, no, it won't be within my lifetime. I'll probably be off the planet by then.
There's no telling. But
I'll be really old.
You'll be on the old side.
I guess it is possible.
Yeah.
It could be in your 90s. Yeah. So we're saying that Star Trek, potentially in my lifetime, can go to fiction.
Yeah, that's right.
Because literally Star Trek came out the same year I was born. Not to this show my age, but it came out the same year I was born.
That's true.
So potentially at the very end of my life, it could actually go from fiction to reality?
Yes, we could meet Vulcans after experimenting with warp drive.
And was that the first contact?
That was the first contact that we're supposed to know about. Of course, they also do another show that happens back in the 1950s? Yeah, I think it was the 1950s. In a town that doesn't really exist in Pennsylvania, and called Carbon Creek, but it's obviously in Carbon County, and they do, even though that's not a real place, they do mention real places like Doylestown in Philadelphia.
Do they really?
Yes, in the episode. That was an episode of Enterprise, the much unloved Trek show that had a very short runtime. But yes.
And also not the greatest theme song.
Yeah, you're really not into that Diane Warren's theme song, are
No,
you?
I don't like it at all. And I'm not a Trekkie, but I really don't like that song.
Well, that was... But there is an interesting Hardin tie-in, because in that particular open, they actually show clips of different... they're showing the progression of from the Kon-Tiki, or what people believe the Kon-Tiki might have looked like, or what people might have used as papyrus boats back in ancient times, all the way through what they're projecting to be the future and showing the linkage. And in there, they actually show Lindbergh.
Oh, really?
Charles Lindbergh is in there. There's a shot of that.
Of Charles Lindbergh, well, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, Transatlantic flight.
Yeah.
All right. So you just made a Hunter and County tie-in to Star Trek?
So that's our big Star Trek tie-in.
It's kind of like a 6 degrees of separation kind of a thing you were doing there.
It really is.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. So... I think we beat that one to death.
We certainly did. So, yeah, I think Captain Janeway will be born like about 100, 150 years or so from now. I actually can't remember the exact time frame.
Okay. Well, okay, maybe you can timeline that out for us and at a future show.
Quite possibly, yes.
Present that to us. Well, we're still not done with our Star Trek talk, though.
No, so I'm sorry.
There's more.
Yeah, so if you're anything like me, you're having a great time. If you're not like me, I'm very, very sorry.
Well, You thought you knew the end of this story until very recently. The ashes of the late James Doohan, who played Chief Engineer Montgomery Scott, or we all knew him as Scotty, right?
Scotty.
On the original Star Trek television series, has actually been aboard the International Space Station for the last 12 years, or so they claim. I'm not exactly... I think this story is a bit suspect, and I tried to do a little bit more digging, but I saw it in multiple places, so I'm assuming that the person who put out this story was true. I'm not just so sure that this is really what happened.
These are actual facts.
Yeah. So anyway, Doohan died back in 2005 at the age of 85, and his family wanted to fulfill his wish on being on the space station. I think he just... Originally, they just wanted to put his ashes into space, when I remember way back in 2005 when I read a similar story over the air a long time ago.
Right.
The official story until just like 2 weeks ago was Doohan's ashes were launched to space earlier this year back on May 22nd on that unmanned SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket to Cape Canaveral, from Cape Canaveral. The Dragon capsule was filled with cargo bound for the International Space Station. Also packed aboard the rocket was a secondary payload carrying the remains of 308 people, including Doohan and Mercury program astronaut Gordon Cooper, according to ABC News and Reuters. However, official requests years earlier to bring Doohan's ashes onto the space station were denied. The family requested it, and NASA said no. So Richard Garriott, one of the first private citizens to travel to the space station, and reportedly he paid like $30 million for his ticket to travel up there, managed to smuggle some of Doohan's ashes into the space station Columbus module in 2008. Garriott says he took a laminated picture of Doohan and some of his ashes and put it under the floor of the Columbus. So I'm trying to picture this because I really don't know what the inside of the... I guess I can look it up on the internet or something, what
possibly
the inside of the Columbus looks like, but I'm trying... Did he pry up the floorboards with a crowbar? Like,
I can't think that there's really creaky old wooden floorboards in there, and things tend to float around seeing as there's no gravity going on.
Yeah, so I don't know. But he claims he didn't tell anybody about the scheme, only he and Doohan's family knew until now. It was completely clandestine, Garriott told the Times of London. His family was very pleased that the ashes made it up there, but they were all disappointed that they weren't able to talk about it publicly for so long. Now enough time has passed, and they can. So they did. It's not the first time Doohan's ashes have made it into the heavens. A portion of his ashes were aboard SpaceX Falcon 1 rocket in 2008, but that rocket failed minutes after the launch and ended up scattered over Puget Sound in Washington State. According to the Times, Doohan's ashes traveled some 1.7 billion miles across space and have orbited Earth more than 70,000 times. So, Scotty, he's up there. He gave it all he got, and now he's floating around in space.
Wow. Well, he wasn't beamed up, but he certainly has had a lengthy career floating around in space.
Yeah. Well, you know, and he will continue. That will continue to be true, I would think, for quite some time.
That much is true.
All right. Well, okay, but the space station probably has a certain shelf life after a while, right?
I would think,
and
yeah.
I don't know. Would it then just become space junk and abandoned?
I don't know what they will do in the future. In the past, things have just become space junk. Skylab, was the Russian Mir, and eventually the orbit decays. They break up. They come down. They usually fall apart.
So, like, I guess my point is, Scotty, he's up in the space station. He won't be there for forever. There's a shelf life to that, I guess,
no,
is my point.
Definitely.
Then
so.
If you just took, like, a canister and, like, shot it out into space, and then you could be there potentially forever.
That's true. I think even that is supposed to rain back down at some point, because I think they did something where they launched, Gene Roddenberry's cremains, as well as a whole bunch of other people. They launched some cremains up, and it's supposed to orbit the Earth for quite some time, and then I believe that eventually breaks up and decays and comes down. So,
thus again proving that nothing lasts forever.
Truly.
Well, long-running host Alex Trebek passed away peacefully at his home back on November 8th from pancreatic cancer at the age of 80. Originally, he was from Canada, and he found his broadcast career in his junior year at the University of Ottawa. He needed money to pay for college and found a job at the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation as a summer relief announcer. He took on other announcer gigs, and after graduating in 1961 with a major in philosophy, which sounds like a good background for Jeopardy, actually.
Yeah, actually.
Trebek stayed at the CBC, where his interest turned to hosting. His first job was for a Canadian music program called Music Hop. It was very much like, I think, an American Bandstand type thing.
Okay, or back maybe in like Top of the Pops or
Top
something.
Of the Pops, yeah, back in 1963. He then hosted several other programs until 1973 when he moved to the United States. He hosted a bunch of shows, including The Wizard of Odds and High Rollers. There's a whole like list of them. Yeah. Game shows were very popular in the 70s.
That's true.
Daytime game shows. It was an inexpensive way of providing content.
That's true, but they used to have a lot of content on television.
Yes.
So.
Well, anyway, in 1984, Trebek landed what turned out to be his big break when producer-host Merv Griffin chose him to MC a revival of Jeopardy. For over 37 seasons, Trebek hosted more than 8,200 seasons episodes of Jeopardy, the most by a presenter of any single TV game show, according to a statement from Sony Pictures, which that even beats out Bob Barker.
Yeah.
The Price is Right.
That's a lot.
Somewhere along the way, he became a cultural icon. Trebek appeared frequently as himself in movies, including in Charlie's Angels, and on television programs, including The Simpsons and The Colbert Report. He even ran a leg with the Olympic torch in advance of the 1996 Games in Atlanta. Trebek also earned numerous awards over the course of his career, including 7 Daytime Emmys. Despite his diagnosis of stage 4 pancreatic cancer, Trebek continued to work almost to the end. His last day in the studio was on October 29th, and his final show aired this past Friday, January 8th.
That's true. It did. So what will happen next? Well, going forward, Jeopardy will have a series of guest hosts filling in until a permanent one is selected. Yesterday, Ken Jennings, consulting producer and greatest of all time winner, debuted as guest host on Jeopardy and opened the show with a tribute to Trebek. He said, "Sharing the stage with Alex Trebek was one of the greatest honors of my life. Not many things in life are perfect, but Alex did this job pretty much perfectly for more than 36 years. It was even better up close. We were dazzled by his intelligence, charm, and grace," he continued. "Like all Jeopardy fans, I miss Alex very much, and I thank him for everything he did for all of us. Let's be totally clear, no one will ever replace the great Alex Trebek, but we can honor him by playing the game he loved." Reviews of Jennings' hosting duties were positive. Both USA Today and Polygon felt Jennings' performance was solid. Jennings may not be blessed with the natural gravitas of Trebek's deep, authoritative voice. However, he honored Trebek and made a Jeopardy feel like home. Other interim hosts have been identified include NFL star Aaron Rodgers and network news star Katie Couric. In addition, there is a Change.org petition circulating to make LeVar Burton the next host of Jeopardy. So, yep, Geordi LaForge.
Yeah, it's funny. Another Star Trek tie-in.
Yeah, yet another Star Trek tie-in. It reads, between hosting 21 seasons of the educational Reading Rainbow. Yes, he did. 21 seasons. That's a long time.
That is a long time.
Playing the brainiac engineer Geordi LaForge on Star Trek The Next Generation. And filling the role of Kunta Kinte in the ever-important mini-series Roots, LeVar Burton has inspired and shaped the minds of several generations of trivia-loving nerds. This petition is to show Sony Pictures Entertainment, Inc., and producers Mike Richards and Harry Friedman just how much love the public has for Burton and how much we'd all love to see him as the next host of Jeopardy. So stay tuned.
Yeah, so I think I am a fan of LeVar Burton becoming, or at least, you know, being an interim host to see how that all goes on Jeopardy, because I think that would be cool. I'm kind of surprised and shocked that Aaron Rodgers and Katie Couric would be interim hosts. I don't know. I think there's other people out there that would be really cool. LeVar Burton being at the top of that list.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see. Stay tuned and see what happens. I know. I feel like there's a hole since Alex Trebek finished up. It's just like, it was very comforting because he's been there for so long, you know, like
a
generation
now. Such a
calm
voice,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, calm voice. Professional broadcaster, unlike me. And and I have a deep appreciation for the show and for him. So he will be missed.
All right.
And miraculously, we have 20 more minutes to fill. So
we got through that material very, very quickly. Very quickly.
Well, not too quickly. I think we read at a pretty moderate pace.
And we presented a lot of different ideas and some our own add-ons and knowledge of these topics.
So I don't know. What do you want to discuss now?
What do we want to discuss? Maybe we should have some random thoughts, seeing it is as it is Random Walk.
It is Random Walk, and maybe that's it. Maybe we're developing a new segment for the show as we're kind of spitballing here, and maybe random thoughts should be a potential segment
for the random thought of the week.
I'm going to write that down.
There you go.
Random
thoughts. Well, you know what was great was it 2 weeks ago? We were out and about. We knew that we were going to be coming here to do this show.
Yes.
And we found ourselves needing to take a walk because, you know, not so much dry January, but definitely wanting to turn over a new leaf for the new year.
Too much pecan pie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you do double the nuts, which is delicious, actually, and full of protein. So it makes it really a superfood. However, we found ourselves, we felt that we needed to take a walk, so we went on down to Lambertville.
Yeah.
And there's a lovely park in Lambertville, and you can get on the towpath, and there's this beautiful towpath. Obviously, it was used when the canal was in service, or meant to be used during that time. And now people walk up and down it, and they bicycle on it. Sometimes they ride horses, sometimes they walk their dogs. And it's really a very efficient conduit for the town of Lambertville as well. And so we decided to take a stroll along there, and we enjoyed the natural beauty, and we discussed what we were going to be doing with our show.
And we didn't even know what to call it at first.
We did not. So that was our first topic of discussion, is what were we to call this. So we kept throwing around names, and it was obvious since we were walking and we were being random that maybe a name like Random Walk
would work. So yeah. We just thought it's like it's a journey. We intend to take a journey with the show, mm-hmm. do a little bit of exploring, because even though we're lifelong residents of Hunterdon County, there's still a lot we don't know, and there's stuff that's new that's coming around all the time, and we kind of want to like go and discover all that, so we're kind of hoping that's where we take the show.
It's true, and it is. It's kind of like a random walk through Hunterdon County and through
County.
The world that we live in, because life is a random walk, and it's a journey.
Very true.
So with that,
why don't we take a break?
Why don't we take a little break here and play some announcements?
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back.
All right, so we kind of were talking or discussing, like, what are we going to do with the remaining 10 minutes or so we have left. And we thought maybe we would sing a song, but I don't think you really want to hear that.
Especially with the mask on, it really does get in the way of my higher register vocals.
Yeah, that's true. And then we thought, well, then we had no thoughts.
Well, we were taking random walks. We took a random walk today through the streets of Flemington.
That we did, right? We're checking out the newer sidewalks that were put in over the summer.
Yeah, I think they were last summer.
And we walked on them, so it was kind of nice to walk on brand new sidewalks that
freshly hewn sidewalks.
Yeah, there's no cracks in them, so you're not tripping over anything. So that was nice. I know I got to go out and buy lottery tickets.
Yes, that's an important random.
You already have yours. Yeah.
Yes, I bought mine last night.
So there's a random. I can do a random walk over to a place that sells lottery tickets. And let's see. I know what it was. next week, we're supposed to have Chip Murgott on the show. You want to talk a little bit about his book, maybe?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure he's going to tell us all about it. But it is a collection of short stories. It's called There Must Be a Better World Out There Somewhere. And it is short stories that he's compiled over probably a lengthy career.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are a little bit autobiographical, but not seriously. Some are historical. I think there's a detective story in there. So they're all different sorts of short stories. So there's a little something for everyone, sort of a book.
Well, that sounds interesting. So I look forward to that next week.
Yes. And he spent a number of years working on this project. So
yeah, I remember him.
Good to see it come to fruition.
Awesome. So I'm looking forward to that next week.
I am as well, and I'm wishing Chip well as he deals with his family stuff that he's got going on tonight, but it's a good thing. So when we were planning out the show, we were thinking of a whole bunch of different people that we're going to probably cite, and hopefully people will be able to reach out to us. And
yeah, we're kind of thinking like the next couple of months or so, probably next 6 months or so, trying to find things that you can do while we're still under a quarantine or
travel restrictions.
Travel restrictions, you know, restricted, whatever. And then as things open up, we hope that we get to talk about and discuss how things are opening up and what they're going to do and, you know, what the expectations are. And so we're going to try and track all that down for everyone.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. We talked about different tourism sites, destinations throughout the county.
I'm sure there's going to be some music festivals coming back online at some point, so hopefully we can discuss those.
Absolutely. I'm sure there'll be many good things going on online that people can enjoy and avail themselves of as well. One of the things that I've been enjoying is all these musicians that are doing concerts from their homes.
There's quite a few of people doing that, and it's actually kind of nice. I miss the whole live atmosphere of things, but it's also nice to know that you can sit in your living room and then kind of travel outside yourself, if you will, by finding out the various musicians who have been doing live stream, whether they are local or more national in nature.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I really enjoy Ellis Paul has been doing a program from his Facebook page. And Ellis Paul, for those who were able to get out to the Black Potato Festival when it was still being held in Clinton or that when it was still happening, would remember that a lot of times Ellis Paul would be the closing act of the festival. And he's a really great songwriter. I think if you go on his website, he's even got songwriting classes that you can become a part of. So it's just really awesome that he's out there and he's doing this program. And he got into it very quickly, I think.
Yeah, he was like one of the first ones. And his show, he almost does it like he's a radio DJ too, the way he goes about it. So I find it very interesting because it's not just a guy with a guitar getting up there and performing. He has, I don't know. His pattern is interesting, so it's like a radio DJ. So, and he always has a different topic. I think each show has a different topic, and he's been doing it weekly and a couple of days a week. And some of them are on Facebook, some of them are on our Patreon, and so you can check it out on Facebook.
Yeah, it's one of those really cool things out there. Maybe we'll talk about Patreon one of these days. Is a great medium for content creators to make some money and continue to create content. Another one that I love is Jonatha Brooke. She's one of my favorite artists. She was very important in the New York City scene. She's now lives somewhere in the America's Heartland, I believe. And she was doing concerts from her kitchen in her home.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, for sound dampening, she actually had like these nice homemade quilts around to dampen the sound, which was kind of neat. And it looked like yesterday she was actually had found like a book nook in her attic and was doing the show from there. So I thought that was really cool.
Oh, that is cool. Another artist I like that has actually performed here in Hunterdon County as well, and she lived in nearby Doylestown briefly, but she lives up in New England today, is Tracy Grammer and Jim Henry. They do, I think, the third Thursday, they do a Facebook show at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's been very interesting. They went through the whole like alphabet with songs that was as their theme. So that was very interesting as well.
Yeah, that was a really cool way to do that. And we even watched Valerie Vigoda and her latest project. Valerie also, and her band Groovily, actually did plays part of the Black Potato Festival a number of years ago, and have done various events around the around the state of New Jersey and throughout the area. And that she did a lovely job with, I think, a new composing partner of hers and from a library in California. So that was really good, I think, in Carlsbad. So it's kind of cool.
So, yeah, so there's lots of live performances out there on the internet, on Facebook Live, on YouTube. It's all very interesting. And I don't know, maybe if you have an idea or you've known of an artist, we can always mention them next week if you want to reach out to us at randomwalkhunterdon@gmail.com.
That's right. So, looks like we've got about 5 or 6 more minutes.
We do. So, trying to think, what else is there? But what other random thoughts do you have flowing through your head, Victoria?
I have a random thought that
well,
I like that
light. Well, there's some random darkness.
There's some random darkness. Here, you take it away while I...
While you do the clapper? Okay, well, should I do, like, play-by-play of how you're trying to, like, turn the lights on? I know everybody can see you on the camera, but...
That's funny.
Well, we could just do the rest of the show in the dark.
I guess it's going to be a dimly lit show.
Well, you know what we could do? We could pretend like, you know, in WKRP in Cincinnati, Venus Flytrap, he used to turn out all the lights and put on candles to do his mood music evening show. So maybe that's what we should be doing. I don't know. Here, you want me to take a stab at it?
Yeah, you're a little bit taller here. You've got this. This might actually wake those pesky light bulbs up. So, sensor lights, folks, let's have a sensor light debate.
Well, they do save on electricity.
They are. They're very important, very good at lowering carbon emissions.
We're saving the chamber money right now because the lights aren't on. So,
Well then.
I give up.
It's okay. It's okay because this makes me feel kind of relaxed.
That's it? Is it putting you in, like, the mood?
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, anyway, Gee, I'm just trying to think a little bit. So any more random thoughts?
I think you give one more short thought, and then we can say our goodbyes and go out with some theme music.
Sure. Well, one thought that I had today is I'm really happy that people can go to the library, because there's a time where the library was closed, and I know that the library has its own show on Chamber Radio, and I'm sure they'll have some many good things going on that show, but... I'm just, my random thought is I'm really grateful that the library is open and people can get in there and get books to read and maybe drop books off, all those things. There's music, there's video entertainment. So
it's part of the community, the library.
Very important.
I'm glad we can go there.
Yes.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of our show.
I think it does. So thank you for tuning in to Random Walk. Thank you for tuning in to Random Walk, a Hunterdon County Chamber Radio show. Please join us next week when our guest will be author and musician Chip Murgott to talk about his book, There Must Be a Better World Somewhere.
You can follow us on Facebook at Random Walk Hunterdon. If you would like to be a guest on Random Walk, you can contact us at randomwalk@hunterdon@gmail.com. I'm Roz Davis.
I'm Victoria Davis.
Have a great evening.
Good night.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.